Mama Elena threw her a look that seemed to Tita to contain all the years of repression that had flowed over the family and said, "If he intends to ask for your hand, tell him not to bother. He'll be wasting his time and mine too. You know perfectly well that being the youngest daughter means you have to take care of me until the day I die." With that, Mama Elena got slowly to her feet, put her glasses in her apron, and said in a tone of final command, "That's it for today." Tita knew that discussion was not one of the forms of communication permitted in Mama Elena's household, but even so, for the first time in her life, she intended to protest her mother's ruling. "But in my opinion, you don't have an opinion, and that's all I want to hear about it." For generations, not a single person in my family has ever questioned this tradition, and no daughter of mine is going to be the one to start. Tita lowered her head, and the realization of her fate struck her as forcibly as her tears struck the table. From then on, they knew, she and the table, that they could never have even the slightest voice in the unknown forces that fated Tita to bow before her mother's absurd decision. And the table, to continue to receive the bitter tears that she had first shed on the day of her birth. Still, Tita did not submit. Doubts and anxieties sprang to her mind. For one thing, she wanted to know who started this family tradition. It would be nice if she could let that genius know about one little flaw in this perfect plan for taking care of women in their old age. If Tita couldn't marry and have children, who would take care of her when she got old? Was there a solution in a case like that? Or are daughters who stay home and take care of their mothers not expected to survive too long after the parents' death? And what about women who marry and can't have children? Who will take care of them? And besides, she'd like to know what kind of studies had established that the youngest daughter, and not the eldest, is best suited to care for their mother. Had the opinion of the daughter affected by the plan ever been taken into account? If she couldn't marry, was she at least allowed to experience love? Or not even that? Tita knew perfectly well that all these questions would have to be buried forever in the archive of questions that have no answers. In the De la Garza family, one obeyed immediately. Ignoring Tita completely, a very angry Mama Elena left the kitchen, and for the next week, she didn't speak a single word to her. What passed for communication between them resumed when Mama Elena, who was inspecting the clothes each of the women had been sewing, discovered that Tita's creation, which was the most perfect, had not been basted before it was sewed. "Congratulations," she said. "Your stitches are perfect. But you didn't baste it, did you?"
"No,"
answered Tita, astonished that the sentence of silence had been revoked. "Then go and rip it out. Baste it and sew it again, and then come and show it to me. And remember that the lazy man and the stingy man end up walking their road twice."
"But that's if a person makes a mistake, and you yourself said a moment ago that my sewing was..."
"Are you starting up with your rebelliousness again? It's enough that you have the audacity to break the rules in your sewing."
"I'm sorry, Mommy. I won't ever do it again."
With that, Tita succeeded in calming Mama Elena's anger. For once, she had been very careful. She had called her Mommy in the correct tone of voice. Mama Elena felt that the word Mama had a disrespectful sound to it. And so, from the time they were little, she had ordered her daughters to use the word Mommy when speaking to her. The only one who resisted, the only one who said the word without the proper deference, was Tita, which had earned her plenty of slaps. But how perfectly she had said it this time. Mama Elena took comfort in the hope that she had finally managed to subdue her youngest daughter. Unfortunately, her hope was short-lived, for the very next day, Pedro Musquiz appeared at the house, his esteemed father at his side, to ask for Tita's hand in marriage.